They found and uncovered another 16 of the buried chariots. With such an abundant supply of water and food, horses and men recovered swiftly. In addition, they'd uncovered many more corpses of Trok's troopers. From these they were able to dress themselves. Nefer altered a pair of sandals to fit Mintaka, whose injured feet were almost completely healed. By the 10th day, they were ready to move. The 4 remaining horses were not strong enough to drag the chariots back through the loose sand, so Nefer decided to use them as pack horses and load them with as much water as they could carry. At nightfall, leading the horses, they started out across the dunes. Although the mare could not carry Mintaka's weight as well as its load, Nefer rigged a leather strap around its shoulders and insisted that Mintaka hang on to this to help herself through the soft footing. Rahamsin had altered the landscape so greatly that Taita had to navigate by the stars. They kept going steadily through the whole of that night and the one that followed. Before dawn on the 2nd day, they reached the old caravan road. It had been obliterated in places by the Khamsin, but before they had gone much further, the light strengthened, and they saw the cairn of stones that marked the crossroads ahead. They discovered that since the storm had ended, someone had been on the road before them. 2 pairs of footprints led westwards along the road, heading back towards the Nile Valley and Avaris. 1 pair was large, the other smaller. Taita and Nefer examined them carefully. "This one is Trok. Nobody else has feet like that, the size of a Nile barge. Mintaka was correct. He's injured, on his right side. He favours it as he walks." Taita read the sign. "As yet I cannot be certain about the other. Let us see if he leaves some clue as to his identity." They followed the tracks as far as the marked cairn. Ah, there. Close by the cairn, someone had recently arranged an intricate pattern of stones in the sand. "No doubt now. It is Ishtar the Mede." Angrily, Taita scattered the stones. "This is an invocation to his foul Marduk, the Devourer." He hurled one of the smaller stones down the road that Trok and Ishtar had taken. "If Ishtar had an infant with him, he would likely have sacrificed it. Marduk thirsts for human blood." Here at the marker cairn, Nefer had a difficult decision to make. "If we're to make the long journey to the east, we'll need supplies and gold. We should not arrive at the court of the Assyrian as indigent outcasts." Taita nodded. "There are many powerful men in Egypt who would lend us full support if only they could be certain that their pharaoh was still alive." "Hilto and Meron must go back to Thebes," Nefer said. "I'd go myself, but all the world will be searching for Mintaka and me." He removed one of his royal finger rings and handed it to Hilto. "This'll be your token of recognition. Show it to our friends. You must return bringing us men and gold, chariots and horses. When we go to King Sargon, we must arrive in some state to show him the support we still command in Egypt."
"I'll do as you command, Majesty."
"Almost as vital to us will be intelligence. You must gather news. We must be informed of every action of the false pharaohs."
"I'll leave at nightfall, Pharaoh." Hilto agreed.
They spent that long hot day lying under the shade of an awning that they'd salvaged from one of the buried chariots, discussing their plans. When the sun sank below the horizon and began to lose its heat, they parted company, Hilto and Merin to head back west towards Thebes, and Taita, Nefer, and Mintaka to go eastwards. "We'll wait for you at the ruins of Galala," were Nefer's last words to Hilto. Then they watched him and Merin take the high road and disappear into the gathering dusk. Taita, Mintaka, and Nefer took the caravan road towards Galala. 12 days later, with only a few drops remaining in the waterskins, they reached the deserted ruins.